As I said earlier, it is great that you are here. I want to do something. If you can, if you can kind of turn your head and look right back there, there's a big black thing on the wall, and right below that is a little white thing. And that's the camera. Everybody, wave at the camera. Woo-hoo! If you are at home, we're glad you are. Well, actually, we wish you were here, but we're glad you're with us. That didn't sound very good, did it? Laughter. I love it. I love laughter. See, Steve, I told you sometimes they laughed at stuff. Right? Yeah. Steve didn't believe it. Okay, we are glad that you're here. In just a moment, we're going to spend some time in prayer. But before we do that, I want a couple of things. We're kind of, as you notice, we're kind of a paperless worship service right now. We don't have bulletins. We don't have registration slips and so on and so forth. So I invite you, if you have not already downloaded our Wiley Methodist app, you can go to the app store and download that, and you can register online. If you don't know how to do that, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. But it's good to know that you are here. Today is kind of a pretty cool day for a lot of reasons. Number one, we're worshiping together. But secondly, where's Betty? She's hiding. Betty, anything going on today? Anything special? She got all her family here. Why are they here, Betty? Somebody's birthday? Betty Martin turns 90 years old today. Woo! I wrote her a card and I said nice things. I've never done that with Betty before. That was a whole new experience for me. Well, we're glad that you are here and glad your family's here. We love you guys. So we're going to spend some time in prayer this morning and just thanking the Lord for his faithfulness. If you'll just bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are such a good God. Father, when things are peaceful, when things are in order, and when things are great, when we're healthy, you are God. And when things seem to be out of control and chaotic and we struggle, you are still God. And Father, we don't have to wonder how you feel about us because you have demonstrated that on the cross. I've said it so many times, Lord, but I want to say it again that Jesus was not drug kicking and screaming to the cross. He went to the cross for our sake. He marched into Jerusalem after he had proclaimed what would happen there. He marched into Jerusalem because he loved us, knowing that his death and crucifixion awaited him because he loves us. And that proves, once and for all, you have spoken, God. We thank you, Jesus, for making that sacrifice for our sake. We come here today in response to that, not because it's how to be good or any of those things, but we come here in response to your goodness. We come here worshiping you because you are God. Lord, I just feel very thankful for that, but I also feel very thankful for this body of believers you've assembled right here and you've called Wiley Methodist Church. Father, may we be a body of Christ that brings you glory. And when people hear that name, they think of Jesus. They see Jesus. May we be about your business. Bless those, God, that are struggling right now. I pray, God, that, Father, some may not even know, you are the God of Wi-Fi. You come right into homes. You are right there. Everyone who is listening this morning, I pray blessings on them. I pray peace on every household, on every person. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, and we pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to go to a time of worship with our offering. We're not going to pass the plates, as we haven't been doing that the last couple of weeks. Jim, would you? Never mind, it's not that far. I don't want to disturb you. You look comfortable there. So we're going to have the plates set out for you to come forward. I know many have set up their givings on our online givings, and we thank you for that. I want to just say again, through this coronavirus, I've had so many pastors that were concerned about, man, you know, what's this going to mean to the church, and what's this going to mean for our ministry, and so on and so forth, and just concerned about that. And I just want to brag on you guys for just a moment. Your faithfulness financially to this ministry, to our church, has been overwhelming. And I am so grateful for that, and just appreciate all of you, so many of you. So this morning there'll be offering plates on the altar rail up here that you can come forward in just a moment. I'm going to pray for our offering. You can come forward with your givings if you have that with you this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give thanks for your faithfulness to us, and I thank you, Father, for this body of believers and their faithfulness back to the church, back to the kingdom. May you bless the givers, may you bless these gifts, and may your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all can stay seated and sing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Faith arise. Hallelujah.
last night I was just about to fall asleep. And the question came to me, I don't know why, because I'm secure in my faith. But the question came to me, what is the scariest thing that you'll ever face? And it would be an eternity without God. There is nothing else that I would ever fear more. You know, and then I come and I sing these songs with all you good people. And I see you respond in worship. I see that you agree with me. And we believe the same thing. And no, we are not wrong. We are not wrong to believe that we have a hope. And we have an eternal Father that we will spend forever with. There's no need to fear. I was able to remember that my name is written in the book of life. I was able to close my eyes and go to sleep. So, Father, with that, we are so thankful. Blessed hope. A hope that is more than I hope something happens, but it is a certainty. We love you. We praise you. We want your Holy Spirit. I feel your presence.
Good morning again. Billy and Carlene are having a much deserved and needed day off today, week off, few days off. So we praying for them that they would be replenished. I keep getting questions about, you know, when are we going to open back up fully and so on and so forth. And I just want you to know we're monitoring that. We're watching that closely. I think that we're close. I think we're close. We'll be making a few phone calls to Sunday school teachers and so forth to see, gauge the, you know, the level of comfort that people have about that. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I want to say if you're visiting with us today, we are especially glad that you're here. At the end of the service, I would love to meet you and get to know you just for a few minutes. I'll be out in the foyer at this end. I've got a gift for our guests and would love to meet you. So that will be immediately after the service. I can meet you out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an ear, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you into this place. We know you are with us. We wait to hear from you. Speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. On May the 30th, about a little over a week ago, May the 30th this year, many of you saw the SpaceX launch. Go ahead and show that slide, Lee. How many of you saw the SpaceX go up? Any of us? I don't remember how many years it's been since the U.S. has sent a rocket into space. And then the next day, actually last week while we were in church, the SpaceX was docking with the International Space Station, and that's where they remain and doing their work there. How many of you remember January the 28th, 1986? A few of you know what that date is. Go ahead, Lee, show us that. The Space Shuttle Challenger launched on that day in 1986, and 73 seconds after liftoff, that happened. 73 seconds. I remember exactly where I was, and I think many of you do. I remember watching that. I was at work, and I didn't watch TV at work, but people said what was going on, so we watched the launch and then watched that explosion. Here's what I wanted to tell you about that. Do you realize that the Space Shuttle Challenger was comprised of 1 million components? If you look it up. Over a million components made up the space shuttle. Guess how many failed to cause that explosion? We know. One. An O-ring failed. Only one component failed, and it had ended up in catastrophe. You know, as I was preparing for this message, in fact, just a few moments ago as we were worshiping, this is what came to my heart. You matter. You matter. You matter to God. It may feel like God's busy taking care of everything else and everybody else, and he doesn't have time for me. I'm too damaged. He doesn't know what I've done. Well, he does. I promise. You matter. And if I've heard this said about families, I believe it can be true about churches as well. You ever heard the saying that I think it's mainly they say it about mothers. A mother is only as happy as her least happy child. You ever heard that? I think God wants all of us to be healed. He wants all of us to be whole. He wants all of us to have peace. You matter. The one matters. Today I'm concluding the sermon series In Search of Church. We talked about originally that the church is not a building. You know, when people have been saying these last two or three months, it's like, I can't go to church. It's like, no, you are the church. You are the church. And then last week we talked about that the church is the bride of Christ, how how Christ is our bridegroom, and we as the church, we as believers in Christ, we are his bride, and he wants us to prepare ourselves and make ourselves beautiful for him. Today's message is the church is the body of Christ. You may have guessed that. The church is the body of Christ. So I'm going to jump right into some points I want us to make about this passage. First is the body of Christ is one body with many parts. And I believe this with all my heart. If there's anyone in our church that is struggling, we're all struggling. We're all struggling. If there's anyone who's not whole, then none of us are whole. As the word says, we suffer together, we're honored together, we rejoice together. Here's two words in this passage that I want us to really to focus on. It's in verse 12. It says that, I'll read the whole verse. The body is a unit, is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. With Christ. I want us to kind of understand that if you are not, if you have not surrendered your heart to Christ, if you've not called on him as your Lord and Savior, this may sound, come across harsh, I don't mean it to, you're not part of the body of Christ. Okay? But the thing is, he wants everyone to be part of the body of Christ. But it says, with Christ, we are part of this body. And we are significant. And even when we're not part of the body of Christ, we're still significant and God still loves us. But he's inviting us in to be part of this body. In Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote this book as well. And listen, in verse 5 of Romans 12, it says, in Christ, there's two important words. We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In Christ, we are part of the body. So the first step we have to understand is you have to receive Christ. Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. It's not enough to just, to just want to be or to think you are. It's like, no, we have to profess Christ as our Lord and Savior. So in Christ, we are part of this body. Secondly, for this body, Christ's heart is that we all be one. Now this is gonna, I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me. But Jesus, as he is coming to his last moments on earth in his physical body, he says this prayer. He has just prayed for the disciples, and he says in John 17, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. In other words, it's not just for my disciples. I pray also for those who believe, there it is again, who believe in me through their message. So who's he talking about? Us, you and I, the body of Christ, that they may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. And here's the payoff, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So when we profess Christ, we are part of this body, and Christ's heart for the body of Christ is that we be one with a purpose. The purpose is to bring him glory. Now, here's the opposite of that. When we aren't one, we're doing a disservice. We're dishonoring Christ. Is this on, Steve? Is this on? So when we're one, we honor Christ. We tell the world that Christ is the real deal. He's really the Son of God. When we aren't one, we dishonor Christ. We harm the body. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here because I know the heart of so many of you in this church. And I've seen the heart of oneness from so many of you. But I think it's important for us to understand this. Now, so the third thing I want us to talk about, and this is where I'm going to get a little deeper. No part is more or less significant than the other. So we know that if we're in Christ, we're part of this body of Christ. We know that the heart of God for this body of Christ is that we be one. And yet, if we begin to see people differently, even, I mean, other churches, other denominations, other races, if we begin to see people differently, we're not fulfilling what Christ has called us to be as the body of Christ. Listen to this in verse 13 of the passage today. We were all baptized by one Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, into one body. Now these were issues of the day where people could see themselves differently, whether Jews or Greek. That was a big deal in Jesus' time. The Jews saw the Gentiles as unclean. They were unworthy. We were God's people. They weren't. And it's very clear as saying, no, we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And that gets into culture, into, who the haves and the have-nots. We were given one Spirit to drink. This passage, I wanted you to visually see this. This passage, these are the 12 verses I read today. Go ahead and throw that up there. You may not be able to read it all, but that's okay. 11 times in these 12 verses, Paul uses the word one. You think one is important? 11 times in 12 verses. The body is made up of baptized, professing people of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want us to hear. These days that we are living in, I've told two or three people this past week, these days that we're living in are the most, I seem to be more conflicted and more uneasy in my spirit than about anything I've ever gone through, I think. Just conflicted. Like I see this and I see that that's not right. I mean, just all of this stuff, it's bombarding us. Is anybody else struggling? The body of Christ is one. So I'm gonna kind of paraphrase my version of this verse 13. Whether Methodist or Baptist or Church of Christ, hello. Did you know that Jesus didn't come to save the Methodist? Whether male or female, ladies, I want you to know, you're as precious as can be to Christ. Whether young or old or rich or poor, no matter what your social standing is, whether black or white or brown or polka dot or any other color, the body of Christ is one. And I just want to tell you, if we are struggling, I'll just kind of confess, where I struggle is with people that I feel like are spewing hatred and divisiveness. Man, Jesus said, love them too. And I find myself struggling with that. I hear the venomous stuff and spewing from folks, whether, again, black, white, brown, it doesn't really matter, just in a struggle. The body of Christ is one. If we are in Christ, Jesus is calling us to be one. He's calling us to love not only our friends, but love our enemies. Love those that disagree with us. Verse 25 today says there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. Do you think everybody in Jesus' day, do you think all the Christians saw everything exactly the same? Saw everything eye to eye? And as we go through these times, I'm just kind of sharing my heart here. Here's where I think everything went wrong. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." The problem, I don't have all the answers. I got a lot more questions than answers. But the problem is not more government or more rules or laws or trying to get everybody to, you know, quotas or whatever, you know, whatever people come up with. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's right here. Our hearts. I ran across this. Actually, my daughter shared this with me. I know many of you have seen this, but back in 1969, Mr. Rogers, he understood, he got it. In 1969, did you know that whites and blacks could not swim in the same swimming pools as blacks in 1969? And Mr. Rogers, I love it, Mr. Rogers, you know, he's all soft-spoken and kind of sissy sounding, you know, I guess. But he packed a punch. That pitcher right there, he packed a punch. This is, he was not a real police officer. This was they called him Officer Clemens, but he was an actor that was there, part of their team. But he portrayed Officer Clemens, and Mr. Rogers had him come in, and they had a little foot bath together. And then when they finished, as you can see there, Mr. Rogers washed his feet or dried his feet. Can sound familiar to anybody? Did you know that Jesus washed all the disciples' feet? The one who betrayed him got his feet washed. Did you know that? Man, I am challenged. I am challenged during these times to love better. I pray that we are too. Listen to 1 John says it this way. We love because he first loved us. This is out of God's word. I'm not saying these things. These are God's words. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. And I take that to mean all of our brothers and sisters, even the ones that hate us, even the ones that hate Christians. We love because he first loved us. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I would tag onto that, and his sister. You know, I just, as we go through this uncharted, man, I forgot who it was the other day, said they were tired of 2020 beating them to death. I'd say beating them to a bloody nub. That's my phrase. Because, man, this has been a tough year, hasn't it? For all sorts of reasons. What I'm challenged to do, like I said, I don't have all the answers for any of this stuff. But the one thing I'm convicted of for myself and to challenge you is to love better. Because the one is important. We are going to partake in Holy Communion today. Let me say a few things before we do that. First of all, the invitation is if you love Christ, if Christ is your Lord and Savior. Now, if he's your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a member of our denomination or any church for that matter. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome. I also want to say, and as we talked about, in Christ we are the body of Christ. If Christ isn't your Lord and Savior, Scripture tells us, and I would encourage you to not partake today of this meal, because it's for people who have professed faith in Christ. And then, on a more practical note, normally we have taken communion and we've had where you break off a piece of bread and you dip it into the cup and you partake in that way. It's called intinction. We will not be doing that for a while. We've got these trays have double stacked cups. And so and we're not even going to have servers. I'm going to set these out. There's two tables, little tables over here and two over here, and there'll be a trash can for you to discard your empty cups. But you'll come up and you'll partake. You'll take one of the stacks and you'll open it up, and there's the little wafer, the little cracker is on the bottom. You'll partake of the body of Christ, and then there'll be the juice, and you'll partake in that way, and then you can discard your empty cups. So I also just want to tell you, if you're not comfortable taking communion because of, you know, the coronavirus and all that stuff, it's okay. It's okay. And I know at home we offered these communion sets at home for the people who are in their homes can partake in that manner. So that's how we're going to do it this morning. I say this often, this is not just some ritual that we go through. This is, in fact, Jesus said it this way as we talk about the body of Christ. He said, "This is my body, which is for you, is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Whenever you drink it, remember me." And so it is a costly meal. It's not just something we go through because it's part of our liturgy or whatever. It's a costly meal. Christ sacrificed his body so that the body of Christ, you and I, might be whole and might be able to partake and participate in his sacrificial body. So pray with me. I invite you to pray your own in your own heart. Pray your own personal prayer of confession. We don't come as a perfect people, but we come as a redeemed, forgiven people. Pray your own prayer of confession. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for this meal, for this table. I pray that you would make this bread, this cup, would be for us the body and blood of Christ. Pray a prayer of blessing and consecration on these elements to your glory and to our healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the praise team, sound team to come forward and receive. Christ invites us to his table. All who call up him as Lord and Savior and repent of their sins are welcome. You know where the two stations on either side will be. Come at your own time. If he's great, say amen.
Amen.
You are significant. Not just to me, but to God himself. Go and be the body of Christ. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
And he's the name above all.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.